Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Recently, I began to prepare for the Smart Thinking Summer Leadership Retreat. And each year, I begin the process by reflecting upon the people that needed help from me or my team and what they needed the most help with. And then I begin to develop the tools and processes to support the leaders that will attend the retreat. Last year, the 200 people who attended walked away with multiple tools to help their leadership and support stronger alignment of people and better internal communication processes, as well as ways to support the well-being of the teams we all serve. This year, the conference is going to focus on coaching and the processes needed to get people to their highest levels of personal work and life engagement, as well as tools necessary to support conversations, processes, and excellence. So throughout the year, I keep a stack at my home office of books and articles and resources to help me plan and design everything for this July retreat. Well, this year, my mom had dropped something off and I put it on a stack of resources. And when I was going through everything, it sparked this episode and the line of thinking I will have for a tool at this summer's retreat. Now, before I share what she dropped off, let's review. First, what is a leader? Well, a leader is you, a person with influence. You, just being you, going about your day, modeling responses and reactions, empathy and process. You, showing the world the alternative ways to act and react. Because a leader is anyone with influence over another person, making all of us leaders, whether we want to be or not. Leaders also lead like the buffalo, running into the storms that we are facing with a sense of optimism that can't be matched, because we're smart thinkers and we always bet on ourselves and the fact that we're going to make it through that storm. We do all of this by being empathetic and reflective. What would it be like to be that person in front of me right now? And what would I need if I were them? Questions like that. You know what I'd need? I'd need the strong assets of a great person in front of me at all times. And that is very likely someone like you. As a result of these key behaviors, we are changing the world around us. And many of the people I meet or go to meet and be around each day, well, too often they get caught in a narrative that contradicts this line of thinking. They feel like they may not matter, and that this is not the right work that they are working on, that their impact on others is minimum. Well, let me tell you something right now. You need to tell that voice to shut up. You do matter. You are making a difference, and someone at some point during your day is going to look at you admiringly and wish they could be like you, and that is a fact. As a result of this type of thinking, us smart thinkers subscribe to two things: solutions and creative processes to help us achieve for others and ourselves. The process this week, which will not be shared until the retreat, but I needed you to start thinking about, is what's called an IAP. And that will be explained later. This is what we call in the biz a teaser. Like I'm in the biz. All right. Let me explain to you through a story to help you understand this and illustrate this. As I was designing the tools and creating the outline of the summer retreat, I started looking through the articles and texts and began designing coaching tools, new chat packs, coaching conversation starters, a custom handheld dry erase board so you can coach on the spot in the moment, and a bunch of other cool tools that we're putting together. A letter slipped out of the pile. I looked down and I remembered that my mom had dropped it off and she thought I'd be interested in it. It's addressed to my mom and dad, postmarked June 22nd, 1979, and it is from the pupil services office from my childhood school district. And to my surprise, when I opened it, it was a special education evaluation. It was a surprise because it was a special education referral for me. I never knew this had happened at that young age for me. I was frankly, and am frankly, still stunned, more so because it was a referral for a learning disability. It stunned me because I was like, why did this even happen? My entire life, I've always been a decent student. I just never applied myself. I thought I was pretty smart. Heck, I was in the gifted talented program. And I was always thinking past whatever was being discussed in my classrooms, and I thought I had a pretty good head on my shoulders. And My mom had all of these letters and test results in the envelope she had given me. I was tested for reading and math deficiencies. I was tested for motor skill issues, comprehension, intelligence, and the identification of my learning style. I read the cover letter, and I learned more about myself. Now, I was in second grade when I was referred. At that time, I had had a brand new out-of-college teacher in second grade, and many of the boys in my class, well, we were little boys with a lot of energy, and I remember being in trouble a lot and a lot with those little boys. I also know a few things about myself that have stood true since the first day I saw sunlight. I was born with an extraordinary amount of energy, a thirst for understanding, no filter when it came to sharing my ideas, and ability to process. I have an ability to process at a million miles per hour as well as a gift for visualizing. Combine all that with a nonstop and highly active imagination, well, and I am and was a little challenging. Gallup, years later, on the Strength Finder, would help me see that these are actually strengths. But in second grade, these were deficits. I read the reason I was referred. Yep, and I have the letter right here. Ted was referred by his classroom teacher because he is easily distracted and lacks continuity of effort in his assignments. He disrupts the class and the room by often moving excessively around the classroom, speaking out, and thus interrupting the class. He requires much individual attention in order to accomplish assignments. He has a short attention span. He rushes through his work, making many errors and deforming his letters. It was also pointed out that Ted has problems sounding out words, comprehending stories and events, and remembering number combinations in math. What? The reason for referral reads with a clear language around my deficits. As a matter of fact, at this time, there is no discussion of what would my strengths have been. However, now, after enjoying nearly 30 years in the education business, it also reads like an off-the-shelf 8-year-old boy. Okay, as I read through the rest of my M-team findings, that's the old world word for IEP meeting, I found more very interesting nuggets about myself. And if I can say with a complete lack of humility, after I was tested in all areas and found to be in the upper end of all areas and advanced for my age level, I saw that there was a small difference in my life between what was on that sheet and what was actually happening by the time the testing was done. You see, it turns out I was referred for SPED at the end of my second grade year, and that meant summer. And that's when I was tested and evaluated. And like everything in education, it takes a lot of time for all of the different pieces to come together. I had the Slingerland test, the Beery test, the Key Math, the Woodcock, the Kottmeyer spelling test, and review of my records, and interviews with my classroom teachers. That doesn't just happen. And it turns out that while all that was going on and my M team was coming together, well, some things had changed. By the time they reconvened my M team to review everything, it was the middle of the first quarter of my third grade year. And by then, I had a new teacher, and she was far from new to teaching. You see, I ran into Mrs. Hummerding. Yep, that's her name. My third grade teacher. I remember her well. She was old. I mean, really old. And I loved her. She was always sucking on anise candies and smelled like black licorice all the time. She called me Theodore when she needed my attention. She had bad vision and she was strict. And strict in a high expectation way. She managed a room and she taught us well and very old school. The year I had her was the year she retired from teaching, and she told us all of the time how that was her 40th year of teaching. So I'm guessing when I had her, she was in her mid-60s. Anyway, it's clear that after she had me and attended my MT meeting that she had a strong influence on my final determination, because it was determined that I needed, are you ready for this? Ted needs a classroom setting in which he knows the limitations and consequences. Ted needs to be given time to move around. Ted needs to be reminded to work slowly and carefully. Ted needs to be engaged in his gifts. Ted's ability to copy assignments needs to be kept short and simple because his mind will wander. That's me in a nutshell. Even today, Years later, when I was a teacher, I learned a lot of things. But one of the things I did learn was that I needed to be an advocate for others. I mean, for those of you out there who actually have been with me, those are things in that letter that I still need 44 years later. Time to move around. Support. Don't give me lots of information and details. It's not that I can't consume them. I won't consume them. However, I had an advocate, and her name was Mrs. Humerding, and she knew what to do with me and for me, which was a clear recognition that I was not only wired not to sit still, but that my energy was a gift and it needed to be used. Years later, when I was a teacher, I employed many of the interventions that Mrs. Humerding used on me and others to our benefit. Every day in her class, I was in charge of getting her mail. Movement. I was in charge of bringing her tray down to the lunchroom. And if she needed something from anywhere, me and my friend Terry would immediately be sent on missions. And if the janitor needed help, he'd pop up to third grade and off I'd go gladly. She would stand over me when we had work time. And if there was a film strip, me and three other kids would rotate who got to turn the film strip on the beep. That wise old Mrs. Humerding put me to work and allowed me to be me. She was also the first person to develop a code for me to make certain I knew when I was getting awfully close to getting in trouble. When she was happy with me, she called me Teddy. When she needed me to buckle down, she called me Ted. And when I was tiptoeing close to or had entered the brink, a very firm Theodore would come out of her mouth, and she'd look over her glasses and directly into my soul. However, I never not liked her. And years later, when I was in college, I'd see her out, talk to her, tell her how much she meant to me, and every year at our city's Fish Day celebration, I'd polka dance with her. She made me feel like I had an advocate for the things that got me in trouble everywhere else, and I mean everywhere else. And in her classroom, I was fine. Which is why I put this letter in my pile, and why those of you who will attend the summer retreat will get it and hear the story again. Why? Because I had an advocate. I had someone who saw my deficits as my strengths and knew how to utilize those little gifts. What made me think of all this, and in the context of us, is that I have always had this fantasy about going back in time and being able to be a kid again, however, doing everything over with my current level of wisdom. I guess all those movies about people meeting their younger selves or switching body with their parents inspired me, but it makes me think, what would I have done different for myself or others if I could get others to switch from a deficit thinking to an asset-based thinking about all of the different ways in which I showed up? Well, I have an idea. I want us to develop our own individual advocacy plans, IAPs. Not IEPs. We develop IEPs or individual education plans for children with learning or behavioral needs. Well, why don't we do that for all of us so that we can clearly and through process share why these are my strengths and here's what I need from you to be successful. And here are my soft strengths or needs. And here is what I need from you in order to be the best version of myself. How can I advocate for myself if there's no process? We spend so much of our time questioning if I have to be who others want me to be, if I have what it takes, if people are okay with what I am doing, and wondering if we are where we are supposed to be. Well, first of all, you are exactly where you are supposed to be. The issue for many of us is the judgment of others and how that informs our own ability to be successful, how it impacts our esteem, and it impacts our inner strengths. Darn it, you are good enough. You might just be around people like my second grade teacher who doesn't realize that an energetic 7-year-old boy who can't sit still must have evolved from people who were constantly on the move, who had to think quick, and were not designed to sit in a desk in rows for 7 hours a day. Now that I've been a teacher, principal, coach, and dad, I realize that people are born with attention deficit hyperactivity gifts. They are a little bit of an outlier, the people like me, but it is our strength. And we don't have to be the only one who changes. I mean, I need you to be empathetic for the reasons people are the way they are. And in the absence of you being empathetic, well, we're going to fail. You're going to fail, and they're going to fail, and you're going to continue to see the evidence for your own biases. Let's talk about that for a heartbeat. When we come to a conclusion about someone or even a process or strategy, if we are in deficit headspace, we only seek the evidence that proves our negative narrative, and we build a bigger case against it. And when we love an idea or a person, we do the exact same thing, constantly looking for the good evidence and evidence that proves our perspective. Every parent I have ever met who has a new, out-of-the-box 3-year-old tells me how unique their child is and how gifted they are. And then those same little kids go off to kindergarten and suddenly the parents are in conflict. Wait, what's happening? My child isn't Einstein or Edith Stern. My kid's normal. Then they start looking for things that are wrong with that child that 3 months ago was a perfectly built little person. But now, whew, we've got a narrative. This child can't be normal. There must be something wrong with them. Why? Why does that happen? Well, their perspective was changed by the reality of a group. However, there is no such thing as normal. We're all unique, and we all have distinctly different combinations of strengths and gifts. And yes, yes, everyone is gifted. We're all just waiting to discover what it is. I mean, going back here for a second, if I could go back in time and convince myself to steer towards my strengths and find a way to get others to see new evidence about me and others that would or who could be able to do that, we'd have struggled less trying to be things we could not be. In other words, what people told us we were supposed to. I mean, even now, it's a big lift for me to sit down and draw out an entire plan from start to finish on how to implement a strategy that I can visualize working. Can I do it? Yes, but it's very disengaging for me, which is why I surround myself with people who have that skill and why those same people need me. So, what if we made this a process? Instead of plans to support me in my deficits, what if we combined them and had an individual advocacy plan, an IAP, where I showed you my strengths and shared my needs while at the same time I show you my soft strengths or weaknesses and show you what I need in order to be successful? This way, when others are looking for the evidence to support their narrative about me or you, well, I can inform that evidence and give them facts. What they now will have is a plan to derail their negative narratives or their weird narratives, and instead, it will allow them to opt into helping me and themselves. Now, I am a huge proponent of Gallup strengths for many, many reasons. And first and foremost, for me, it took what had often been told to me was a deficit, and it put those deficits into a strength-based language for me. Here. So, my top strengths are strategic and futuristic. That's 1 and 2, and they stack really well together. At my wedding in 1997, our priest, in his homily, described Megan and I in this way. God brought these two together because Megan is grounded and firm in tradition and her ways. And Ted lives in with his head in the clouds, always dreaming of new ways to do things and inventing new processes. And together, Ted and Megan will bring each other to new heights and stability. He was right. But they're my strengths. And those were Megan's strengths. And do we have conflict around that? Absolutely. However, we both know what we need to do for each other. And what it is it's a process. So here is the process. And we'll go deeper into this summer. Shameless plug for the Smart Thinking Leadership Retreat. Okay, grab a 4x6 index card. Label it Individual Advocacy Plan. This will have 3 prompts listed at the top. Number 1, strength. Number 2, what I need in order to stay strong. And number 3, what you can do different in order to keep me strong. Did you hear that? This is my strength. This is what I need. And this is what I need from you. 3 simple prompts that support reflection and self-empathy. Wait, Ted, what is self-empathy? Well, Jordan stated this in 1994 in a great research paper. Self-empathy means that an aspect of yourself observes in an empathetic manner, the aspects of yourself that you are experiencing. This is done with an attitude of suspended judgment and openness towards yourself. In other words, self-empathy simply requires you to notice and recognize what's happening to you. And what is happening to you often is you are feeling that the world is focusing on your deficits instead of your assets. And that's why we need to create tools for people to be able to advocate for themselves in a manner that supports who they are and what they are capable of. Because when you can operate in your strengths, it's engaging. And you can operate in a flow of joy. Why wouldn't we want that for others? And most importantly, why wouldn't we want that for ourselves? I've used this process now for a couple of years with my team and other teams that I've led retreats for. First, list your strength. Tell us what you need from us and tell us what we can do different in order to help you be you, the strong person that you are and that we all need. I mean, think about this. This is Mrs. Humberding's Teddy, Ted, and Theodore language as a process. Teddy being, I'm in my strength zone. Ted being, what I need, a little reminder. And Theodore being, I'm going to stand over you and help you get into the steps and processes you need to ensure your own success. How does that translate to me today as a leader for and with others? Well, when I'm stacking my strengths of strategic and futuristic, that's me, baby. That's Teddy. Energy, enthusiasm, and a clear vision. What do I need in order to stay strong? In other words, Ted mode? I need your patience. I need candor. I need your understanding that I might move on to other ideas pretty quickly, and I will likely change my vision in your absence. What can you do differently in order to help me stay strong? In other words, Theodore mode? I need you not to ask me for a lot of details. I need you not to be frustrated with my vision in the absence of micro-level information. I need you not to ask me micro-level questions or quickly talk about all the things that will go wrong. I need you to provide me grace and time and patience to provide me. I need you to provide me the process, demonstrate through evidence and data why it will work, and I need you to be really patient with me. If you're able to, through process, have this little note card in your pocket and advocate for yourself with teams you work on, and build not just self-empathy, but collective empathy through process. Imagine how quickly your gifts would shine through. Now, let's talk about the backside of the card, because it's the same thing. Gallup, in some ways, on your strengths, call these blind spots. But I want you to imagine if you were able to articulate, hey, I'm not strong in these areas, and I need these same things. For instance, me, on my Gallup 34 report, my 34th strength, in other words, a strength that I will likely never, ever lean into. This would be Mrs. Humberding screaming, Theodore Charles Knightsky the Fourth, that kind of moment. Sometimes I think my name in and itself is a great management tool. Anyways, my bottom three strengths that I would for sure put on the back of my IAP would be number 34. That strength for me, not really a strength at all, is consistency. This is an executing skill. I would put under that what I need column. I would put, I need others to understand that I do not follow routines, rules, and procedures naturally. And what I need from you is to gently remind me of all the routines and rules and procedures that are in existence. And I need help. I need help by you helping me build those into my strengths. In other words, I'm not going to thrive in this area, and I'll need you to help me do this lift because I don't have that strength. My next lowest strength, number 33, is harmony, a relationship-based strength. You need to know that I don't mind a little conflict, as I believe that better comes from dissent. And I need you to remind me that many others do not like that dissent or conflict. And number 32, deliberative, another executing skill, you need to know that I do not spend a lot of time making decisions, and I operate from experience and instinct, and I need your help by asking me to share why I'm making the decisions I'm making, because my gut is my guide, and it's often right, but I'm not always good at explaining it. I want to flip this back to the strong side of the card and give you another example of my strengths. You see, I don't really like focusing on those areas that I'm not the best at. And I don't think anyone should, because when you bring me there, it creates anxiety, it creates doubt, and it makes me feel insecure. And that's not where I lead best. You know where I lead best? In my top five. And learner is a top five for me. And what I need from others to help me stay in my strength is patience. I need to know stuff. I love finding things, which is why I love spending the weekend researching and creating these podcasts. What people who work with me could do differently to help me stay strong is constantly share with me the information that is guiding their suggestions or criticism. I literally can't not know how we go to or got to something. And as a result, my level of inquiry can feel more like an inquisition. And I'm operating in my strengths, so be patient with me. And call me Theodore to shake me out of the line of questioning and remind me that I'm operating as a learner and I'm not being critical. Okay, I can't wait for you to start to think of the ways in which you can advocate for yourself both with your strengths and with your not-so-strong areas. Why? Because if we can't advocate for ourselves, who will? I mean, if Mrs. Humberding was still alive, I'd have her come to work with me, and I'm certain she'd observe me and call me Teddy most of the time. But then she'd see me struggling to understand why someone would ask me for so many details. She'd see them take me into my areas of weakness and my blind spots. And as I start to get a little red in the classroom or in the office space that I'm in and become shorter and shorter with my responses or slowly withdraw, she'd glide over into my space and whisper in my ear, "Theodore, you need to get up and go get the mail." In other words, she'd step into that space and give me what I needed. We need to be able to advocate for ourselves, and the best way to do that is by focusing keenly on our strengths and looking for a common language amongst us so that we can be ourselves. Not shy away from the gifts we have and those that we've been given, but instead practice building empathy amongst others as well as practicing self-empathy. That can only be done through teaming tools and processes. It can only be done intentionally, and it can only be done by you being a buffalo and advocating for yourself. So let's do some smart thinking. Identify your strengths and your soft strengths. Describe who in your world needs to be coached to self-advocacy. And finally, list ways in which you can support others through their strengths and weaknesses. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. Hey, as always, thanks for listening. Thanks for participating along with my mental exercises here today. And most importantly, remember to rate and share this episode with others. Always feel free to go onto the CISA 6 webpage and look up the information under Buffalo Leadership, where you can find all of the tools and TH4s from the past. And finally, thank you to the Well Pennies for their amazing music and allowing me to use it to inspire us each week through their optimism lyrics and whimsical music. Make sure to follow them on your musical platform and look them up on Golden Bear Records to see the other amazing artists that they are currently producing. As we close out, if you're interested in participating in attending the Summer Leadership Retreat, the Smart Thinking Summer Leadership Retreat, check out the CISA 6 webpage after March 20th for details and registration. But if you're going to come, don't think about it for a long time. You need to execute and register soon because we sell out very fast. It's June 16th and 17th this year in Port Washington, Wisconsin. I want to end this one with an ode to Mrs. Humberding. I can't remember, after 298 episodes, if I ever talked about her. I know I've spoken about her often when I do presentations out in public, but I have to tell you, I loved her. Man, did she keep me in my place. I was, at a minimum, a challenge for teachers when I was little. Well, and big. However, I was also in a class with a lot of kids like me when I was in elementary school, and one of my classmates and I, well, we looked very similar. We both had blonde hair and the same hairstyle. We both were about the same height, and we had the same first letter of our first names, T. And for some reason, Mrs. Humberding, to which to this day I still don't know why, we were both assigned seats at the back of the classroom and at the end of our rows. There were 5 rows of 6. Yeah, we had 30 kids in our third grade classroom back in the 80s or 79 or whenever it was. And my friend was the last seat in the first row, and I was the last seat in the 5th row. Every day, Mrs. Humberding would get confused on occasion, and she would call on my friend, and then she'd call on me, but she'd switch our names around, sometimes calling Terry Ted, and sometimes calling me Terry. And she'd do it all the time. Well, we learned over time that her vision wasn't very good, and she really couldn't see the back row very well. So one day, I look over and Terry is waving at me and he starts crawling towards me on the floor and he's saying, "Switch seats. Hey, switch seats. We've got to switch seats." So I didn't know what to do. So I dropped to the floor and I did. I crawled over to his seat. And when I get over to his seat, she calls me Terry. And when I'm in Terry's seat, she calls me Terry. And I say, "Hey, Mrs. Humberding, I'm Teddy." And a few minutes later, Terry comes crawling back over and we switch again. And a little while later, she calls on me in my original seat. And then at that time, she says, "Terry." And I say, "Mrs. Humberding, I'm Teddy." We did this on and off for about a month, just killing ourselves with laughter. And one day, at recess, she appears on the playground and pulls us aside, and with her black licorice breath, leans down to the two of us with a hand on each of our shoulders and says, "Terrence and Theodore, if you think I don't know what you're doing in the back of the room, you are mistaken." That was a really long recess. We were so afraid to go back to class. However, we came back from recess very sheepishly, and for the rest of the year, we sat next to each other in the front row. However, we both thrived up there, and had we not had her, I can assure you that eventually someone would have pushed harder for me to be special ed. Instead, Mrs. Humberding treated me like special Ted, seeing my strengths and energy as something useful, and she advocated for me. Let's find a way to look at our own strengths as just that, who we are and our strengths. Let's use a process to advocate for ourselves, and most importantly, let's find a way to coach others to be empathetic so that we can all grow as leaders. Be someone's Mrs. Humberding this week and see people's assets. Lose focus of their deficits and teach people how to create their own individual advocacy plan. All right, folks, I'm going to be taking a couple of weeks off here as we are taking our annual trip down to Nanon Pop's house down in Florida for spring break. I'm going to spend some time reading books. I've got a stack. I might even need my own suitcase just for that. But in the meantime, when I'm off for a couple of weeks here, I want you to think about what you need to do in order to not just advocate for yourself, but others, how to be the best version of yourself, and how to be Buffalo.
It seems these days blues covered up in a cloud and a blanket of grays. And I know it's fine, but I feel a lot better with you in a bottle of wine. Every color's faded, everyone is waiting on. There's a song horizon, just you wait and see. Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? Shake the world with me. This heart in me feels like a feather but hurts like the sting of a bee. And I know it's fine, cause I can bring the rattle and you can bring that shine. Every color's fading, everyone is waiting on. There's a song horizon, just you wait and see. Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? Shake the world with me. There's a song horizon, just you wait and see. Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? There's a song horizon, just you wait and see. Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? me. Shake the world with me. Shake the world with me.